going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
With the 233rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears pick Kyle Monanga. He's running back for the Rutgers.
Into the end zone. It's a touchdown for Rutgers. Kyle Monanga has his second of the game.
Here's Monanga up the middle and in for the score.
I can't wait to get started, learn the playbook, and get out on the field because, you know, what I've already seen, you know, with his past work and, you know, what he's done as an offensive coordinator and everything. But, you know, I'm just excited. Everyone's telling me how blessed I am to be under a Ben Johnson run team. And, you know, that's the way I feel just having heard the news 10 minutes ago. But I'm excited to get to work.
The Bears have a new running back, Kyle Monanga. From the Rutgers.
He's my Manung guy. Okay. I like him. I like him. I'm claiming him.
That works, I think.
Not really. No, yeah, thank you.
That is correct, Stoney.
Going to need to get shut down on some of this stuff.
Mike Hall is the man, and he is the man over at Big Ten Network. We love that he comes visits this show because he's part of the Score family. He married in. And now he joins us here on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today.
He's like an in-law.
He is, very much so. Mm-hmm. Hello, sir. How are you?
And I feel, too, that when I join, someone goes, oh, it's like an in-law's with us.
It always makes you feel special, doesn't it?
I like my in-laws. I go to their house a lot in the burbs. I got a pool and stuff. I like hanging out over there. It's all right.
Well, I don't want to be difficult, but I've talked to them, and
boy, if they got some news for you.
Damn you, Hall. Stop doing that.
All right, Mr. Handsome, you tell us, what do the Bears have in Kyle Monanga?
Well, as you heard, he's from the Rutgers, which is a big deal.
Amazing.
You know, I was thinking about this. I don't think any of us would ever want to stake too much on a 7th-round pick for anything.
Correct.
But, man, that's a good 7th-round pick. Like, he strikes me as a guy that 10 years from now is still going to be playing in the league. I don't think he's a superstar. I don't think he's expected to be a superstar. But when he was a sophomore, he led the Rutgers in rushing yards. When he was a junior, he led the Big Ten in rushing yards. And this year, everybody knew the only real offense was coming from the running game, and specifically coming from Kyle Monanga. And he still averaged 116 yards per game, despite the fact that everybody knew that was the dude they had to stop. So I know he's not as flashy as Ashton Jeanty, but I think for the concept of value, him in a 7th round is great.
Yeah, it seems to be the case for the running back market that there's a couple, 2-3 guys who got that kind of value in that 7th round. By the way, the Rutgers, My dad went to Rutgers.
For the Rutgers!
My mom went to Douglas, which at the time was the female version of Rutgers.
For the Rutgers!
Yeah, I mean, she did put the S on it, but I get it. It's the State University of New Jersey.
Well, we would take the S off here anyway, so that's fine.
That's true. He went to the Rutgers. But tell us more, because you watched the games. We've now watched the tape. We've played catch-up, but you watched the games. How many people were, like, in the box for opposing defenses when the Rutger would hand the ball to Kyle Menungai?
Well, I'll put it this way. The quarterback that they had was Ethan Kennedy's name, right? A-plus name. But he was, you know, a lower-tier Big Ten quarterback. And when they played pretty good to good teams, his numbers were not good. So the only way they could get any yard offensively was handing it to Menungai. So I really think he's, again, I don't think there's anything flashy. But if the idea is he's not even the main back, which, correct me if I'm wrong, he's going to be back number two, right? That lowers what is expected of him in any regards, let alone the amount of carries he's going to have.
Yeah, you would think that he would be someone that they're going to find matchups for. And they're going to allow him in certain situations to get out there on the field and be a change of pace back, which makes sense. The thing is that these are the types of guys that you usually like churn through when you're talking about seventh round pick or priority free agent guys at the running back position specifically. So, but I think that you're right. I think that he tends to look like someone who has an opportunity to stick for a while in the league because of some of the cool stuff, like watching the way that he does bounce off defenders, his contact balance. And that is something that if you can do that, that's something they will find you a job and they will find you opportunities in the NFL.
Mike,
I agree. I liked, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I liked him going into the draft as someone that I thought would be, could make a difference. I really don't know that he's a star, but I just think he's going to be around for a while.
Undrafted in 2020 was this guy who is 5'9", 219, similar to Menungai, James Robinson. Now, that's not a guy who lasted 10 years in league, but that's a guy who flashed in a big way for the Jaguars early on and then bounced around to several other teams. Like, there are dudes who are super useful right away who get taken down there. I think he could right away be super useful. And Lawrence, you're right. They churn through guys like this here in the NFL. And that's part of why you don't take someone higher.
Yes.
Because there are dudes. Like, this speaks to the fungibility of the position.
Yeah, the running back position itself is now one, unless you have the elite of the elite. If you have Saquon Barkley, that looks different. If you have Derrick Henry, that looks different. Even Josh Jacobs, like, that looks different. And maybe lightning strikes twice in Piscataway, New Jersey, and you go, oh, here's the Bears version of Pacheco.
Yeah,
like, that would be great. A guy that runs like he's angry at the ground. So if Menungai can be that in the pros, you can make a lot of money and you can help a winning team do that. I'm curious, sir, what did you think of the Bears draft overall?
So I went in genuinely being like, okay, the only thing we really don't need is pass catchers. So as long as we avoid pass catchers, as long as we take our capital and don't use it on pass catchers, I'm going to be pretty happy with this draft. And sure enough, the first two picks are pass catchers. But here's the thing, and I admit I'm an eternal optimist, so I'm always finding the positive in it. I love the picks. I get the debate of Loveland Warren, but a year ago at this time, if you asked me who's the best tight end in the Big Ten, I would have said, oh, it's going to be Colston Loveland in 2024. No doubt. I mean, he's really good. We knew Tyler Warren had potential, but remember, Tyler Warren was the only pass catcher they had at Penn State. So his numbers were remarkable. And by the way, I do think he's very good, but he got a lot of opportunities. Colston Loveland, remember, had not the best, I'm trying to be kind, quarterback situation in Ann Arbor this year. So his numbers were not impressive, but go back to when J.J. McCarthy a year ago was throwing to him. He was very good. And then you add up the fact that we know what Ben Johnson did in Detroit with a two tight end set, and you go, well, yeah, we didn't need a tight end if we have Cole Kmet, to, oh, Ben Johnson needed a second tight end. So now you got those two guys. Now you're also talking to a Missouri grad.
I was going to say you're the perfect guy to do this segment because you cover the Big Ten, so I knew you'd have some Colson Loveland stuff for us, and you're a crazy Mizzou fan. So let's hear it. Like, what do we got here?
He's a dog, guys. This dude has if you're going to beat Todd McShay, he's just got a high ceiling. He is so good after the catch. He might not run 30 yards and get something. He might run 8 yards and then get the next 30, scooting around two or three people. When he came to Missouri, people immediately were like, oh, it's going to be fun watching him in the pros pretty soon. And he lived up to that hype. The thing that really got me excited, guys, is you're going, okay, so you got Kmet, you got Loveland, you got Burden, you got DJ Moore, and you got Rome Odunze. Just to oversimplify it, one of those dudes is going to be matched up on every single play with the fifth best pass defender on the defense. So there's almost always going to be a pretty big mismatch available for Caleb Williams. And thinking of that very quickly had me go from please don't get any pass catchers to I kind of love the two guys they got.
Yeah, man. That's the whole idea. Is the offense being able to confuse and challenge the defense and your offensive guru, your head coach, having what he needs to implement that stuff. It's not going to be about catch numbers, you know, like, oh, this doesn't, how many balls can you throw? You know, how many guys, like, so Cole Kmet might not catch that many. Colston Loveland might not catch as many as you think.
But the offense itself could end up being robust.
You could have all these weapons out there and then run it straight down their throat. And that's because you have these weapons out there. This is football, and they've got an offensive guy now, Mike, who understands it, right?
Yeah, and I didn't think of it that way, Matt, but I think you're right. If the expectations are for people to be like, well, Luther Burden better get 12 touchdowns and 1,300 yards, like, that you're probably going to be disappointed, but that shouldn't be the expectation. We know that Ben Johnson likes to keep you guessing on the defensive side of things, and if he's got five dudes to catch the ball, one or two to run it, plus Caleb to do whatever he wants, I think you're right. It's important to remember that the point is to score points as a team,
yes,
not to get individual stats. And maybe none of these guys will be all-pro players, but they'll probably have a collective all-pro worthy level of offensive production.
I want to go back to Loveland for a second because I do think that there are people that are concerned. The AC joint injury is a thing, and there are people who look and say, how well can he block because of what his positional designation is? I know that he said that he is proud of the work that he's done to become a better blocker. When you watched him in games, he made a lot of plays with the ball in his hands. Is there enough there? Is there enough raw material there to go, I'm gonna let this play out and see how good he develops into a blocker at the next level?
Yeah, I'm not. By no means did I feel like when you watched him in college, you're like, well, he's got good hands, but worthless at blocking. Like that just wasn't something that I heard about Colston Loveland whenever we were talking about the Michigan Wolverines. It was good hands. It was great ability to break away from the guy defending him and find some space. Good job after the catch. And he helps out the run game. He's a good safety net for, again, at the time, J.J. McCarthy, more so than the quarterbacks he had this past year. I'm not worried at all about his blocking ability. And, like, he's got that. I'm sure you guys have done the research of, you know, he's got that Idaho farm boy type of toughness. You know, it's not like he's going. I don't expect Luther Burden to be proudly blocking a ton, but I do feel that Colston Lovin's going to be like, that's what you need for the next six plays in a row. Got it. I'm there.
Yeah, there's apparently this is not Colston Loveland's first rodeo. Like, I didn't realize that.
So to speak.
Yeah, no, I think very, very directly, this is not his first rodeo.
He was herding cattle and stuff.
Yeah. And I think he was at rodeos and like heavily involved in the Idaho toughness is a real thing, Mike. I'm not familiar with it myself, but I believe it.
There was a funny, I forget who wrote it, but there was a funny story a little while back about his recruitment, because he was, you know, the Gatorade Idaho Player of the Year or whatever. And you're sort of like, well, what does that mean? Right? When you're in high school, how many people did you beat out for that designation? But there was a story about Jim Harbaugh going to Idaho to recruit him, and how like it was almost like a music man. Like the whole town was like, "Well, the cook is in town. Hey, everybody, let's put on a show!" Like it was a huge deal that Jim Harbaugh was coming to town, and he spent that, you know, time capital in the world of recruiting to do it, because Harbaugh knew pretty early on, yeah, it doesn't matter the competition he's playing. There's a lot there.
Oh, it's just a matter of time before me and Mike Hall get to our musical theater backgrounds here. At least he's not from Gary, Indiana, not Louisiana. So, now you got me thinking about how good are the players in Idaho. I want to know who Mr. Idaho was in a college basketball sense or high school basketball sense. And if
he was Colston Loveland.
It might have been. He was Mr. Everything. He certainly was. All right, who else from the Big Ten that you covered and dissected, as you do, Mike Hall, do you think got drafted in a really good spot and you're excited to see what they can do in the NFL? Lots of big-name opportunities out there.
Well, let me see. I'm trying to think off the top of my head of the draft picks. I feel like everyone was Big Ten or SEC.
It was 78 SEC guys and 71 Big Ten guys.
Wow. Mason Graham to the Browns, Travion Henderson to the Patriots. These are all options for you, sir.
So Travion Henderson, I definitely feel like has a lot of potential. I was hoping the Bears had a shot at him, but I'm still, I don't know. I don't know if you guys are like that. I'm still not 100% sure what we value with the running back. It feels like its value's coming back, but I don't know. I mean, the first guy that jumps out is Abdul Carter. He wore the number 11 at Penn State, and that means a big deal. That's a long history of guys going back for decades. LeVar Arrington and all sorts of superstars in that position wearing number 11. They call it sticks, and he lived up to it. I mean, he was awesome. He was a game-changing problem for people defensively. I think he was the most important and most valuable player on that team. And remember, Penn State made it to the semifinals of the playoffs last year. So I think he's going to be fantastic. I think it's hilarious that he asked
amazing.
He asked Lawrence Taylor for 56.
That's
incredible. That is balls.
It was so funny to me. I love that. But I guess you want that confidence, right? Another guy that stands out is Emeka Buka, Ohio State wide receiver, I think the Bucks got. And I just – that dude, that Ohio State wide receiver room for like a decade now is just every single year jam-packed. And he made a huge – I want to say it was his freshman year Rose Bowl. He made a crazy splash. And then there might have been some people like, oh, he never hit those heights. And it was like, well, yeah, because Marvin Harrison Jr. was on his team and Jeremiah Smith was on his team. And like you can only – it's got to feel pretty good even if he's no Jordan, right? So I think Ibuka is going to have a really good career as well.
Mike, as always, man, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. Love to Linda and the kids and to you, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. Talk to you guys soon.
That is Mike Hall of the Big Ten Network. He is great, and you got to see that he is also really good at improv because, you know, he did improv.
Yeah, the improv and the musical theater background, there's quite a connect there. And he knows my in-laws, apparently, a little too well. It's a little distressing, I thought.
He's a reporter. You know, he got down to the brass tacks of it all.
I'm picturing Amy Jacobson
knocking at the door.
Or like in a bathing suit at, was it Drew Peterson's home? Is that where she was?
No, it wasn't Drew Peterson. It was, Stabic. Craig
Oh, good job.
Stabic, I believe.
Good job. Look at you.
Whatevs. I was thinking more of not Pam Zekman. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking Pam Zekman. Because Pam Zekman show up at your place.
Yeah.
You got a problem. If Dave Savini.
Dave Savini's that it was my next one.
If Dave Savini shows up at your place, you got a problem.
Then you must have roaches that you have not reported.
Yeah,
you
man.
You are endangering the lives and the health of your patrons.
You better have all of your I's dotted and your T's crossed if Savini's coming your way.
Yeah, you don't want that. You can't handle that Dave Savini smoke.
Or Bulldog Drummond. Bulldog Drummond show up at your place. It's a problem. He's there to get to the bottom of it.
It's like you.
Me?
It's like you with your journalistic.
I don't have any.
You're nominated for a Listigore this year.
That is correct.
Aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. So.
So is Tanny. Congratulations.
Tanny doesn't like to take that, but he needs to. He needs to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I need it. I need the validation. Yeah.
You deserve it.
Do I get to go? We haven't talked about that.
100%. Yeah. You're nominated. So, yes, you get to go. They have like a nice dinner and everything. There's a bar.
Well, if it's a free meal, that's what I'm all about.
The meal, the award meal is secondary, free. I believe the bar is cash.
Oh, yeah.
But it's fun. And that library that they have over there.
It's Union League? Is that where it is?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It'll be my first time in one, so looking forward to it.
It's worth it. I would say wait until like 7 to show up because the cocktail hour gets a little – it's a lot. But show up as they're getting ready to sit everyone down for dinner.
I'm trying to picture what's a lot at the journalistic award cocktail hour. People like throwing around their cred?
No, like journalists drink.
Oh, yeah, they
hit it hard. For real. So I'm saying, you know, come get your sit down, have your nice dinner.
You've heard the story, Speaks. You walk in. Can we have the password, please?
They're all over your case.
I mean,
making sure.
When you walk into the Union League, there is a feeling of that. It is one of the more if you're ever in Chicago and you can ever get a tour, I highly recommend it because it's got some old school to it that is so cool.
Man, all those places: Union League, University Club.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago Athletic Association, which has been rebuilt now, obviously, and turned into a hotel and such. But, like, there's still parts of that. Like, that's ancient Chicago history stuff. I love it.
Speaks, I'm just so sad that you'll never be able to get in there with your journalistic lack of integrity, as we famously heard about.
Awful reporting by a non-reporter and a radio station in town, unfortunately, went with it because that's just what they do. But
So you're done. You have no chance of getting in there. So we'll just tell you what it's like.
Well,
no
shot. Look, Listigore Award winner Danny Parkins is going to be on the show tomorrow.
He is going to be on the show tomorrow.
He's got one.
Yeah. He gave me my credibility, and now it's you. I only work with Listigore nominees.
I won, actually. So I already have one.
Oh, you have one. So this will be another.
Yeah.
Did Danny win?
Yeah, Danny won.
Okay.
Danny did incredible journalism on Northwestern baseball.
Oh,
remember?
I have no doubt. That Northwestern
kid.
You
have no doubt.
I have no doubt.
You were here for it.
I was. I was right next to him for it. I thought it was incredible journalism, without a doubt.
Apparently.
Yeah. I just didn't remember that he won. That's all. It's hard to keep track. You guys are nominated for stuff all the time. You know? It's very difficult. I'll do what I can.
All right. Well, good luck of that.
Thank you.
Maybe this next segment will be award winning. We're going to have a long conversation about what was really going on with Shedeur Sanders and how it was covered. And also this idea of prank calling draft picks.
Oh, man.
We need to talk about that, too, and what it have wrought. Next on The Score.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee, all for just $89.95. That's right, we guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. we get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Check Todd out at The Ringer. He's doing incredible stuff with the Todd McShay Show.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
Afternoons on the Score.
With the 144th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Shedeur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado.
Listen to the reaction.
The reaction in the draft hall says it all.
Fifth round, 144th pick for Shedeur Sanders. He has been talked about a great deal over the last 72 hours. Well, I guess 96 hours. He's been talked about a great deal about where he's supposed to go, where he went, why he didn't go, what were the reasons by it, is he being blackballed, what is going on here, all of this stuff. It's fascinating. Like, my brother's not really a sports guy, and so he asked me Saturday about all of it, and what I told him was, there's a lot here. I don't think it's just this simple, and I think some people do want to reduce it down to one cause or another, and I don't think it's that simple. I think there's a lot of things at play here. Number one, for me at least, speaks. I look at Shedeur and go, man, that guy's got incredible stats. He's tough. You know, he's accurate, completed 74% of his passes. I wish he were a bigger guy, and I wish that he had a better arm and was more athletic.
Yeah.
Which is what you can say about a lot of quarterbacks in the draft.
Absolutely. But he doesn't have, like, he comes with a lot of the same things that these young quarterbacks come with, where you don't know if they're going to be able to adjust. You don't know if they're going to be able to do their thing. But he doesn't have the athleticism as a bonus to be able to run like that. And he doesn't have some of the other stuff to mitigate your concerns. That's purely just the playing part.
Which is why, when you're that type of player, the pre-draft stuff matters. It's why you go to the Senior Bowl. It's why you throw at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
All of that's, it's why that you have to go and above and beyond. If the tape isn't so good, and I get that he was in a draft where quarterbacking itself wasn't great, but if the tape isn't so good, you have to be careful on how you deploy your "I'm not doing that" thing.
There is a culture of non-competition that has been built for a lot of these people. Luther Burden, the Bears pick, didn't run at his pro day.
And there are a lot of people who think that his pre-draft stuff is the reason that he was a second rounder instead of a first rounder.
There's this whole culture of like, no, I don't need to do that. Let my tape speak. And eventually, if enough people do that, then you have difficulty figuring it out and people start to hold it against you. So that is a factor. It's one of the factors.
And I think that people here should be able to relate to this, because Caleb Williams' talent didn't come under question at all, right? And he didn't do a lot of the pre-draft stuff. But the stuff that he did, he crushed. The interviews that he did, he crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone walked away going, I like that guy. That guy's really smart. He knows his stuff. And I have 38 games of college tape to look at him and say, against prime competition, to say, yeah, I'm good with him being the number one pick. So you don't have to look very far for a fame comp. Like someone who is super famous and opted out. But the difference is Caleb's talent, from an evaluation standpoint, much easier to see than Shedeur's on tape.
And then there obviously is the massive addition of his father and his father's presence and what that did to scare some teams and organizations away of having to deal with the inevitability of, well, maybe we should just get Deion to come in here and coach him. So that was a factor in there, too.
There's two things with Deion that I think factor in. I don't know if it's fair or not, but one, he kind of said, we're not doing any of this. Until, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago, we're not doing any of this stuff. And if I don't like where he's drafted, we're going to move him out of the place that he's drafted. So, okay. So let's say that you're a general manager who likes Shadur and you're kind of on the fence. You don't know how the family feels about your franchise. Mm-hmm. So why would you take the risk of a high pick knowing that there's the possibility that he might not want to come to your city or to your franchise?
When all the previous things about him as a player and what you don't know have lowered him on your board anyway, then the why bother factor kicks in.
The other part about Deion is this. Like you said, Speaks, if you do draft Shadur high, let's say that he magically goes number two instead of number 144, and things don't go well. Well, you know what people are going to start saying? I bet his dad can fix him. I bet if you brought in Deion, then you would get the most. Now, which head coach is then going to sign up for that headache in a first rounder who's going to come with the power of his contract, as well as having this big, powerful force of his dad behind him? There's that part to it, too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that's not playing in his favor. And if some of the here, to me, this is the thing that should keep Shadur up at night. It's not that you got passed over and you ended up at 144. Who was Shadur's mentor? You guys know?
As a quarterback?
Uh-huh. Tom Brady. Tom Brady passed on him 6 times. If I were Shadur, there would be a level of being betrayed.
Well, but there's also ought to be a level of introspection there.
I agree.
All right, this guy really knew me and passed on me 6 times.
I agree, but I think the first thing is like, oh, Uncle Tom passed on me? I was out here throwing the ball around.
Can't believe you just called Brady one of those.
What?
Uncle Tom.
You know the story of Uncle Tom? People misuse that. The word they want is they should say, but they won't, is Sambo. That's the character that they're thinking of. Uncle Tom is a very different character that freed a lot of enslaved people.
I'm so glad I came to your TED Talk.
You're welcome.
I'm really
glad. The actual Uncle Tom, I want to say, is related to, because his name is John Henson. And I want to say he is Taraji P. Henson's great uncle or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He got a lot of enslaved people to Canada.
So this all played out over the course of the draft. And moment by moment as it played out, Mel Kiper broke just a little bit more.
He short-circuited.
When Dylan Gabriel got picked by Cleveland.
As he should have.
Oh, Mel absolutely lost it. But he lost it several times because he really thinks that Shadur ought to have been drafted higher. What do you have, 3 on his board?
Yeah.
Or something like that? Overall board, he had him that high.
It was so funny because once we got past pick 3 and then best available was Shadur Sanders for the rest of the time till he got drafted.
Yeah, and that's an incredible amount of time. And eventually when it happens, this is after Shadur finally gets picked. Mel Kiper blew his top, and he and Lewis Riddick had an exchange that really called into question the way that the draft happens, the methodology, the coverage, all of it. This is Mel Kiper losing it on the ESPN draft coverage after Shadur finally goes.
This is not about can you play the position. This is about do we want you to play the position for us. That's what this
came. Why wouldn't they, Lou?
Well, look, that's a whole other discussion that we've had in many different ways for months now.
It's not one of the toughest quarterbacks you've
ever. Mel, this isn't about this isn't about quarterback traits and quarterback characteristics, personal football characteristics. That's not about this. This is personal.
Has he had an off the field issue? No, he has not.
Mel, you don't have to sell it to me.
I don't know what we're talking about here.
You're right. Something. The draft has spoken.
That's right. That's the key, Mel. It's not putting a value judgment on whether those who passed are right or wrong. They did.
Yep.
So now, whenever you're in circumstances in life, whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether they're fair or whether they're unfair, you might have to deal with them. Now Shadur Sanders has to deal with
everything.
And for whatever reason, whether he played a minute, microscopic percentage, 0%, or it's a legitimate criticism of the way he conducted himself during the draft process, this was the result.
Yeah.
Now he has an opportunity to answer it. I think yelling at the NFL about it is not
right. There's not a quarterback. Boomer Esiason was not happy when he was the second round pick.
Right. Tom Brady was not happy.
They dropped. How'd they turn out?
And you know what?
Nobody's arguing that.
My
that can happen.
Race, the NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterback. Clueless.
All
they have no idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
When they say
we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterback, they don't.
Nobody's batted 1,000 there, though.
That's correct.
Right? I mean, I think that's...
All that matters now is what happens going forward. We talk about it all the time. There is the evaluation phase, there's the evaluation and selection phase, which we're in right now, and then there's the development and implementation phase. That's where we're heading to right now. That's all that matters for him. Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry.
And Lou.
Have at it.
Quarterbacks now, and Rich, you know as well as anybody, college kids now get paid. They're professional. They're getting paid. They're commercials. They're out there. You got to deal with that. If you're the NFL, you got to deal with that. Okay? He's saying whatever he's saying behind closed doors. What's he saying? I want to be the guy. I should be this. I should be that. Deion saying he's the best player in the draft. He's best quarterback. Second best to Travis Hunter. Best quarterback. Who is it? What quarterback out there didn't think they should have been a high first round pick?
Again, nobody's criticizing what happened. We're saying he has to deal with the reality of the result from it.
Correct.
That's all. 144 Sanders. Everybody wishes him well, as we do.
Man, that's fascinating to me. Mel Kiper has built a career and maintained a career and maintained a certain level of credibility by caring only about the quality of player. The quality of player and where they should be drafted. And then everything else that comes off, off the field, like these red flags and whatever, they're just, you know, slightly mitigating factors. This is too much for his football brain to wrap itself around.
I also think, though, that Mel may have gotten caught up on narrative street.
Well, he's selling it. Like, the amount of stuff that he had armed to sell. I kept talking about these late round quarterbacks, and here are some of the quarterbacks that went before the other late round quarterbacks. Like, he was ready to rock this story for the entirety of the draft, and he couldn't wrap his head around why this was happening.
Because I will say, I would ask him, I would say, why didn't you fight that hard for Quinn Ewers? Quinn Ewers is a good comp for Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers played through some injuries and looked sometimes stiff. He was called lethargic for the way that he played, but he was battling through injuries, ended up going to the Dolphins in round 7.
He made a bad choice. He should have transferred. But I get it. He was probably scared away of next year's quarterback class, but he should have transferred. But I think that those two guys are similar. They're similar in size. They're similar in skill level, where neither one of them kind of jumps off the page at you. But everything that Mel's talking about in that moment where he's saying, well, guys are getting paid. That's why I went back to the Caleb Williams thing. There were questions about Caleb, but the talent
was undeniable.
Was so undeniable that people were like, okay, I'm good with it. And taking him number one overall. With Shedeur, when you add everything together, it's not just one thing. But when you add everything together, a decision maker at the NFL is like, am I better off taking him or am I better off taking a defensive end that I know I don't have to worry about any of this?
Sure, because all the mitigating factors we're talking about, you might be dealing with a number two quarterback or a number three quarterback for a while. And are all those mitigating factors worthy of dealing with? Let's stay on this because there's another aspect to it that we got to discuss. Mark Grody's coming up at the top of the hour on 670 The Score. We'll consolidate a whole bunch of draft thoughts and some sound that you haven't heard, but something happened to Shedeur Sanders, which is not fair. And Lawrence believes that something should happen to the person who allowed this to take place. We'll get to it next on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're not afraid to remind people when we've had something correct.
That should be a tagline for this show.
Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right?
I learned it from watching you, Lawrence.
I learned it by watching you.
Afternoons on The Score.
I think that for the most part, every part of the discussion about Shedeur Sanders is worth exploring. What I don't think is acceptable is pranking kids that are trying to live out their dreams in their most vulnerable moments. I think that what happened with Shedeur Sanders was hideous, and there should be punishment for it.
Shedeur, the way this played out, like, people see this and they're like, oh man, and then, oh, was it a prank? And then Shedeur finally does get drafted and talks about it and was super classy and gracious about it, saying, why be mad? Like, what are you going to do? I'm not going to let it take away. And, like, everything that, the way that Shedeur handled that, I was like, oh my God, that is awfully adult.
See, the weird thing is that outside of the meetings, the word on the street is that Shador's a good kid.
He seemed like a good kid in some of this stuff, but the meetings apparently went badly. But who knows what those can be colored by, man.
There's no doubt about it. So this is Jack Ulbrich and his buddy. His buddy is the one that's on the phone. Now, Jack is the son of Jeff Ulbrich, who is the Falcons defensive coordinator.
Former, briefly, the head coach of the Jets last year, yes, after the Rodgers stuff was a mess. Ulbrich has worked in the NFL for a long time. And the story is that he left an iPad open at his house, and Jax happened to see Shedeur Sanders' phone number, a cell phone that he specifically got and distributed to NFL teams for this. So he'd know if it rang, it was from a team.
GM, yes.
And somehow that number is on the defensive coordinator's iPad.
They probably did a meeting with them, so you're getting everyone's thoughts, like, hey, how would you stop Shedeur?
Uh-huh.
You know, that sort of thing.
And it was just open. Jax Ulbrich just happened to walk by and find the most volatile name in the draft narrative's phone number just happened to be there on an open iPad, according to his statement.
So he and his buddy did this.
Hey, is this Shedeur? This is Mickey Loomis here, the GM of the New Orleans Saints. How you doing?
What's up, homie?
This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, been waiting on you.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
This thing doesn't do nothing to you.
Yeah, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
I'd get a kick out of it.
Bunch of jackasses.
Now, Jax,
I'm gonna punch them all in the private parts.
Jax has issued an apology.
Smelled. His apology smelled, man. I mean, it had some, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
He said to Shedeur, yeah, Shedeur, what I did on social media, Shedeur, what I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. I'm so sorry I took away from your moment. It was selfish and childish. I could never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life, and I made a terrible mistake and messed with that moment. Close quote.
Didn't he say that, I appreciate you taking my call earlier today, intimating that they had spoken directly
that they
on
had
the
spoken
phone
directly and they could work through it. Here's my issue.
Yeah.
NFL teams and NFL security are very, very, they take whatever is in-house stuff very seriously. It's why the idea of bring your playbook when you get cut, that sort of stuff. Now, it's not to say that that stuff doesn't get out, that guys don't leave iPads in cars, or they do end up having pages of a playbook copied or whatever it is. But usually it's players. And when players do it, they get harsh treatment from the team. When players mess up in this way, they get harsh treatment. The fact that this coach was so lackadaisical, this DC was so lackadaisical about the information that was out there, and then it leads to this, I feel like there should be consequences for this. And I'm not sure what the consequences are. I don't know if it's a fine or whatever. But the fact that this personal information was then used against a player because a coach was irresponsible with the storage of information, to me, is a significant problem that should be handled.
The Falcons have said they're not going to penalize Jeff Ulbrich.
They should.
Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of other prank calls, too. I didn't realize this. Tyler Warren was a victim of one. There was a lineman that had 4 or 5 different prank calls play out on him. This is ridiculous this is happening this much.
It very much is. And that's something that I hope that the young man learns from it, and he deserves the brunt of it because you made a decision to go forward with this. Like, there were plenty of times inside of the we have his number to, hey, we should prank him, where you could stop and you didn't. And then not only that, not just the prank, we're going to film it too.
Man,
it's we're going to film it because we want that notoriety. We want to show you what we did.
It's hard to have empathy for, but I mean, they are young. This kid, what is he, 21? Jax?
Yeah.
So maybe this will be the kind of embarrassing moment that keeps him from doing anything like this,
yeah,
and make him be a better person
but
moving
his dad
forward.
Being irresponsible with people's information is not cool.
It's not okay.
And there should be consequences to it.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's like you got to learn lessons like this when the opportunity is there. And we all screw up, man. But that's just so lame to mess with a kid like that.
Yep. I'm glad that Shadur was the bigger person, and it sucks that he had to be. It really does. That he had to be like, I'm going to be the bigger person here. Maybe they'll both grow from it, but it still stinks.
It's a big day for the radio station. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris announced as the midday show, and Mark Grody will be joining them twice a week as part of the mix, and it's always great when the three of them get a chance to hang out. We get a chance to hang out with Grody next, though, don't we?
Yeah, Grotes is here to give a Bears hit. Two words next on the score.
Ah, Grody!